The Suns fantasy football game Dream Team is back. And with total cash prizes worth over £100,000, improved gameplay and free entry, it's worth a little extra prep. Dream Team, it's a total no-brainer. But you've got to be in it to win it. Download the free-to-play Dream Team app today. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only.
Play the opening game of Final One Standing by William Hill for your chance to win a share of a £500,000 jackpot. It's free to play. Simply join the opening league before 12:30 on Saturday, 16th of August, and pick a team to win in the opening round. Then pick a team to win each week. You can only pick each team once, and if you're the final one standing, then the jackpot is yours. Final One Standing by William Hill. Football's ultimate elimination game. 18 plus online. Runs from 28th of July 2025. Price split if all players lose in the same round. Paid in 48 hours. T's and C's apply. Play responsibly.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&B Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon show live from Cheltenham once again.
Yes.
My voice just about held out. Got a bit of a cold, bit of a sore throat. I've been on the Lemsip. Yeah, I'm now having a very medicinal Guinness.
I didn't know they did a black and white Lemsip.
Just the one.
Just the Robley's bar.
Just the one keg. No, anyway, that's not definitely
yes,
not.
No,
definitely
no, no. Who do we have in today, Paul? David Bentley.
Yeah, he was
Alan
great.
Alan McNally.
Yeah. Joe Jacobson, formerly a Wickham.
Yeah, all good stuff.
He gave you a top tip for the racing, didn't he?
I'm not going to say what's happened to all the tips from footballers today, but none of them did very well.
No, none of them did, very well at all. So, we had a bit of a chat.
We had a quick birthday spread.
Birthdays.
We had a laugh there, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah. Nice. So, and we had obviously the tour diary. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Touch of the Bob Harris's for you today.
Yeah, I've got a cold.
You're all right. Paul's fine. No one worry about him.
I've got the
headache.
I've got the sore throat. I've had the Lemsips.
But he's going to be fine. He's going to get through till 4 o'clock.
You'll take my mind off it, Charlie.
Exactly.
Definitely.
We've got five races, Paul. I keep thinking about the guy. Before the last race yesterday, we were told about a guy who just dropped $50,000 on our horse.
Oh, yes. Well, please gamble responsibly.
And it didn't come in. And I was like, is that easy for some people, Paul? Can they just drop the $50,000 and then, I didn't win, who cares?
Some people can.
Some people can.
Not us.
Imagine being that person.
So, we've been kicking off the show each day with the tour diary.
Yes.
In honour of Andy, who sadly can't be with us this week. He always keeps a little, he sits here and takes notes.
Like,
and I've realised it's like a full-time job. Yeah.
It's like all the president's men when you go out with him.
So these are some of the things I am last night.
Lovely.
Georgia, our assistant producer, has been a bit of a star of the week, the gift that keeps on giving.
Good, very good.
She had one of her relations outside. We met him yesterday.
Nice. So she knew he was there.
She was chatting to him. I said to her, is that your uncle? She said, no, it's my dad's twin brother. And I thought, hang on. It's a Stan Laurel line.
It is, isn't it?
My dad's
uncle,
twin brother. I gave it to him and he gave... Anyway, we've noticed when Georgia walks around the concourse, you have to do a lot of dodging.
Yes,
it's a bit like playing sort of rugby union, you know, dropping the shoulder, getting around people, because it's quite busy.
To get through, yeah.
Georgia just walks in a straight line and expects people to get out of her way.
Nice.
And generally they do.
That's nice. Well, there are two sorts of people in the world, Paul. People who do that and people who don't, you know. She moves...
Well, kind of fitting that, we've been getting a little six-seater taxi in from the hotel to the course every day.
That's nice.
And every day, a bunch of us all kind of squeeze in to the back.
Yeah.
And Georgia gets in the front. And so I said to her, just for future reference in this business, Georgia, the talent gets in the front. I said, you're lucky
case.
I'm such an understanding
you're
person
such a nice
because...
guy.
If this was Simon Jordan, you'd be sacked by now.
If Maria Callas was coming to do the Cheltenham Festival with us all week.
That'd be a tough booking.
I know, but she'd be in the front, Paul.
She'd expect to sit in the front, wouldn't she?
If Elton John was with us at Cheltenham all week.
He wouldn't want to sit in the back with Fletch and our producer, who was called by Fletch earlier on today.
Oh, yeah.
A pound shop Hugh Grant.
Oh, that's what a lovely, isn't it? We've ordered Hugh Grant off Wish.
The producer came down this morning. He does a lot of sort of ditzy. Yeah. Honestly, Curtis would love him. He's a film on his own. But he said, I couldn't find the light switch in my room, so I just took the light bulb out.
Come on, mate.
It's a light switch. Where's it going to be? It's not going to be on the roof, is it?
And he's in charge of getting us on air every day, Paul, and putting the show together.
Okay, Fletch. I've not been around for his nightcap because I've tended to turn in a bit earlier, but yes, he's been having a nightcap.
Is he all right?
So I say nightcap to you, end of a, you know, a long evening.
Yeah.
What you're thinking?
I don't know,
a single malt, or a brandy, or a single malt.
One of those nice.
Just a little
deep,
one to see you in
a bed. Rich drink.
That's it. Malibu and pineapple.
Oh, come on now. Come on now.
He actually came back downstairs to meet the producer at midnight the other night, and he had a Malibu and pineapple.
Was he six?
Is that much to know? Well, I hope not.
Was he going on a hen night, Fletch, all week?
Who thinks, you know what, I'll just round off the evening.
I fancy
nice
now.
Sugary.
He's a pudding.
He's probably bouncing off the walls all night and doesn't drink.
Malibu
what else
and
have
pineapple.
We got for you today? Troy Dean, nice. We caught up with Troy yesterday.
Oh, nice.
We saw him Monday. He was having a little bit of a punt, a little bit of fun yesterday, gambling responsibly.
Because we saw him Monday, didn't we, in the Lansdowne?
Yeah. So there was a race coming up, and I said, what are you on in this one? And he told me, and I thought, couldn't find it anywhere on the car. I said, you sure it's running in the race? Basically, he put it on a race in Huntingdon by mistake.
Did he get in a car?
It won. Which
he
was
came
really
in.
Annoying.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he went off course. I said, they say that's vulgar. I remember once at the tote.
Oh, is it?
We got a tip from our old mate Stephen Hunt of Stephen Hunt's jacket fame yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The former Reading. And Steve got something.
Did he get his jacket back?
It was like the 6:15 at wherever, Wing Canton or whatever. And we all got on it. And this bloke in all the tweeds said, oh, you're going off course, are you?
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah, like that, really snotty about you. Don't do it. Oh, dear.
Do you know, what else he, Lord Charles?
It was Lord Charles.
Oh, dear.
George is a betting Jonah. She's not had any winners
not
at all
winner.
This week.
Yeah. If you want to know what she's on in the first race.
Dean Windass was here yesterday. His wife, Kerry, was chatting to her. She was saying, I've not had any winners. So she said, well, I've never had a loser. She said, I don't bet very often. If I come with Dean, I'll have a little flutter.
Wow.
She said, I've never lost a race.
Wow, mate.
So Georgia said, oh, that's good. Can you tell me what you're on in the next race? So she told her, and it lost.
Oh my goodness,
proper
mate.
Jonah.
Proper Jonah. She's on Bluey in the first race.
So I think
if you want to know, which is 16-1.
Rupert watched Villa on his phone.
Oh, that's nice.
In the little restaurant pub we were in. But it was no jeopardy.
As they
for
would
him.
Have wanted.
Absolutely no jeopardy. There was our producer. There was some music going on in the sort of pub restaurant where we were.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he kept saying, I recognise this Spotify playlist. This is a Stonecutters remix. And we're saying, no one cares, mate. And
is he from Six Music?
Yeah. And he'd say, oh, yeah, this. Oh, okay, they're playing this out of sequence because it's obviously on shuffle. We go, No one cares, mate.
No. What restaurant are you in? Like,
what's currently going on in the broadcast box here
is that
Finn, one of our technical team,
yeah.
is in the queue to buy tickets for the Eurovision after party.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
In Switzerland.
Let's ask again. Finn, how are you getting
on? What number are you in the queue, Finn?
No, Joe, how long are you likely to
wait? What number are you in the queue? 629th in the queue. Unbelievable.
We'll definitely come back to everybody later and see how Finn's getting
Keep
on.
Keep hold of that all
we'll
afternoon.
We'll have half an hour updates for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. It's Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker, live from Cheltenham. Day three of the festival. Big Paddy's Day celebrations. Today we're going to be bringing you the big feature race of the afternoon at 4. The Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got 5 races this afternoon. We're 1 down so far, and we're joined by someone we just discovered who's a bit of a veteran of
been here before.
Cheltenham. He's been here before, even when he was told he couldn't.
Why am I not surprised?
I shouldn't have brought that up.
It is David Bentley, the former Spurs and Blackburn winger. Good afternoon, David.
How you doing? You're
yeah,
right?
We're
very good.
Good.
Nice to see you.
So you were, I mean, there was the Spurs boys were told they couldn't come to Cheltenham.
That's
we
correct,
understand.
Yeah. Well, we were told we weren't allowed to come under Harry, obviously.
Yeah. All right, okay. Yeah.
Harry was obviously telling us we can't come, but we took it upon ourselves to book a helicopter and fly in. We ended up landing next to Harry because he was coming as well.
No,
and then we ended up in the box next to him. But he was all right in the end.
He was okay with it. Was
did he wave at you?
How did it work itself out? He gave me no winners. That's why.
He didn't find you. How many of it?
I think it was O'Hara was there.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Jonathan Woodgate and Dawson. And
that
we were all right because Michael Dawson was there. You know,
oh, okay.
Everyone loves Michael.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so it. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Manager's son was he. He was manager's son, right?
Yeah, Michael.
So, yeah, Tottenham tonight, a big game against
big
Altmar.
Big game tonight,
and they were poor last week, and they weren't stunning at the weekend. So, it's a big night, not just for the team, but it's a big night for the manager as well. I think, you know, if he doesn't get this win, I'd be surprised if he makes the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, when he first came into the football club, I think he energised the place, you know, the whole stadium. I mean, going to a few games with my son, and you feel the energy, you know, at the end of the game with the song about him, and that feel-good factor to Tottenham, which he brought back, and that free-flowing football that all Tottenham fans love. We're all watching it. And even now, you know, your neutral fan will want to tune in and watch Tottenham. But things have turned a little bit sour for him. And what through injuries, you know, with certain players. And I think some of the tactics as well, you know, hasn't helped. While he's had them injuries, I think he could have sort of shored things up and sort of not gone into games and lost games, which... But I do like Ange. I like his positivity, but and the way his team's playing, the way he wants to. But the club is under immense pressure. You know, you see the protests that are out there. I think there's another one scheduled for this weekend. I'll be heading it up. No.
for me, last week it was. Yeah. You know how he's going to play, so RZ will have known how he was going to play.
Yeah.
And if you've got the players to stop that and shut that down, which they did have.
Yeah.
Then you know what you're going to get, so it seems quite predictable
there
to me.
All the weaknesses, the flaws in that Tottenham team are very easy to exploit because they never really get remedied.
Yeah.
It's interesting, David. I'm a Spurs fan, season ticket holder, and the first 10 games, the infamous first 10 games when he first came in, we were talking about, that was wonderful football.
It was.
And then we got to that Chelsea match where Van de Ven got injured and Madison got injured, the complete disaster. Udogie went off and Romero, etc. And they never, ever really found that again. You just wonder, is that because it wasn't sustainable? It wasn't a sustainable way of playing. You know, there was no way you could play that flat out with that intensity for a whole season.
Well, I think you're coming up against other teams and other managers that are going to figure you out and try and stop you playing. And I think teams are turning up and stopping Tottenham doing what they want to do, that free-flowing football. Teams are going to set up against that and counter-attack that sort of system, and I think teams have sort of figured them out after the sort of 10 games.
Yeah.
I think it was such a positivity, and Tottenham should be like that. But I think in certain areas they've sort of been lacking. I think they're conceding from, you know, the corners and the issue with the set piece sort of coach and all the issues that other clubs are doing. They're taking them little percentages all over the pitch, and I think teams just figured them out after that. But it was a great positive period. And I wish that could come back, but they're just lacking in areas. I do think they're going to go and win the game tonight.
I agree.
They're more than capable of that at home.
Yeah.
You feel they've got enough to do it,
exactly.
But then it's beyond that. It's can they win the tournament? And you look at them at the moment and you think, are they going to beat some of the other teams further down the road?
Well, they've got talented players. They've got the best, like everyone talks about it, it's the best stadium. The stadium is unbelievable. The training facilities, the club is set to be the biggest club in England. And I think that's the frustration with a lot of fans and a lot of people is, and even in the media, they're looking at it going, well, this could be the great team over the next 10 years. You know, just buy a few players. I think that's the frustration.
But the injuries have allowed a few younger players to come in, if you want to find some positive. Like Jed Spence wouldn't have got the run of games.
He's done very well.
I don't think he's played ever so well.
Berg proven to be a really important player.
Berg's great, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a good player. He's got so much energy, so much talent. He's comfortable on the ball. And he's only 18 years old.
Yeah.
He got a good finish the other day, didn't he?
Yeah.
God bless him. But he's a good player.
Was there a frustration in your time? Because you were there under Daniel Levy, and I know Harry had some frustrations about signing players at key moments. So was there a frustration amongst you players? You'd say, why don't they just go out and, you know, bring in, we need that player, why are they not spending the money? Was it frustrating from your point of view?
Well, I think Tottenham, obviously, as far as Daniel Levy, everyone's frustrated with it. He runs a good business. I think they're one of the only teams or the most successful profitable teams in the country. I think they've announced that recently. And he's doing very well on the business front. But football's more than that, and Daniel is obviously going to take a lot of flack for that. Can he spend more money? Yes, he can. when I was there, was that a frustration? There was a lot of good players that were in the building, but they were brought in for like Modric was brought in. He was on minimal wage, minimal wage, I'll say.
Yeah, not minimal, 10 quid an hour or something.
£6.40 an hour. Yeah.
But within bar work in the evening.
He was cleaning the toilets and everything.
No wonder he left.
And he brought me in from Blackburn, obviously on minimal wage. And you Gareth Bales and that, and Harry Kane come through to. So they've done well in that department, but they haven't really sort of bought the ready-made sort of 26-year-old player who sort of knows his game, knows what he's about, and knows how to win. So there are frustrations.
He'd point it to Solanke, wouldn't he? He'd say, look, we spent £70 million on Solanke.
I think he's done very well, but even Solanke, you know, obviously week on week did very well at Bournemouth, but he's not coming in from one of the top clubs.
No.
You know,
There's that winning mentality that people talk about. You get someone coming and they've just got that a bit about them, haven't they?
Yeah, I think that's something that's sort of deep inside it. You see them, the big players within Europe or the world or players that have done it before, they've got something different where they...
You're seeing it with Asensio at Villa, really. I mean, he's gone in exactly there and he's just a burned out. There's a lot of Villa players. They've got some good young players just looking to him. Because he's just got it, hasn't he?
Drilled from a mentality point of view. And I think Tottenham sort of suffer that, you know. The free-flowing football and young players. And you can make a profit on the young players, we understand that.
Sure.
But I think Tottenham and everyone within the media, I think, like I said, with the stadium, with the profits of the football club, how healthy the football club is, stadium and the training ground, I really think now the frustration is this could be the team for the next 10, 20 years. Mm. Whether that comes through selling it, I've heard rumours that could be potentially the Qataris or someone coming in. But whoever comes in, you've got a London-based football club with the best stadium probably in Europe or the world. Best training ground facilities, and a platform to go and win the Premier League, Champions League, and that's where the fans' frustrations come from, because they're looking at it and it looks like we're going through the motions. You know, it looks like it's just all right to be 14th. We got knocked out. Oh, that's all right because we're Tottenham. It's just I think
this time next year we'll be millionaires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
David Bentley's with us here at Cheltenham with Paddy Power. We're going to talk about life after football with David because he did pack up. Relatively young, and we're going to talk a bit of England as well.
All right, nice.
Because Thomas Tuchel announces his squad. We'll bring you that on Talk Sport tomorrow morning at 11 with Jim and Simon. And we'll look at some of the players that could feature with a fresh pair of eyes with Thomas Tuchel.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport with David Bentley, the former Spurs and Blackburn winger. And we've got an England squad announced tomorrow. David, so it's going to be interesting, isn't it? As sort of we've seen in the past under Sven, you suddenly get a fresh pair of eyes, and different players find themselves getting in the squad. It's going to be interesting to see who gets the call up. Lewis Skelly, maybe Adam Wharton in midfield for Palace, who's been really good.
Yeah, I think he was, I don't know whether it was Barcelona or Real Madrid, we're sort of monitoring his sort of progress. Yeah. But you look around the Premier League, there's an abundance of talent now that is English, and there has been for even under Southgate sort of reign, and talented players who can make a difference. I think it's somebody that can tactically go in there and sort of win tournaments for us, you know.
I think he's a good appointment.
He knows what he's doing. Obviously, successful manager, knows what he's doing. I don't think he takes I was going to say a swear word then, but he doesn't take any nonsense.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
well, I'm not as educated as you.
I mean, Conor Gallagher was incredible last night.
Yeah, I know.
You'd hope he'd get a nod because he was unbelievable. It was a slightly different position.
Simeone's made him a better player already.
It's much better.
I think they call him the ball or something, don't they? He's got his own nickname and everything.
And you look at him and Bellingham.
He's an honest player, but you look at Bellingham, your Cole Palmers,
Harry
Kane's and Foden's and so on. You've got talent all over the pitch. You just need to mould them into winning football matches.
Still defence, isn't it? Still the defence.
You know, you've got world beaters that are doing it on the Premier League stage. You just need to step up, and they just fell short with some tactics, really. And I think to win a tournament, just to be a bit smarter than the other teams. Not more talented, just a bit smarter.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can come in and do that. But he's got an abundance of talent to pick from.
We'll find out tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, with the first squad.
Still, central defence that worries me. You know, we still haven't got anyone obvious, have we? Just get in there and lead it. You know,
So let's have this. I mean, talk a bit about you. You did.
Oh, I like that.
You,
I like
you,
that.
Enough about you. Let's talk about you.
Yeah, I know. Where's the cameras? I want YouTube cameras and everything.
No YouTube today.
Oh, I'm not.
We knew you were coming, David.
No, I've done my hair and everything.
You did sort of fall out a lot with football, David, didn't you?
Well,
at 29, you packed up.
I did. I think football maybe fell out of love with me. I think there was a comment that follows me around. I love football. I've loved it since, first kicked the ball. I said that comment, and it's like anything, isn't it? It lives with you. You don't like. Yeah, obviously don't. I obviously do love football. I retired now 12 years ago.
And you've got you've been very successful beyond it, though. You've got all sorts of different businesses. Sort of restaurants and a hospitality business in Spain and here.
Yeah, we've got the La Sala brand in Spain that's been doing really well. We've moved into the sort of real estate sector now, and things are flying over. They've got Run Sports Bar, the golf simulators, the clubhouse. I've got to sell it now, haven't I? That's what I'm
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. People are going to visit.
We got the beach club down there. That's been been a stable part of our business. We sort of built a brand, and we've opened in Hamburg next to the Sao Paulo football club.
And you don't miss playing, Dave? There's not been points over the years where you thought, I've maybe packed up too early?
There are sometimes. Yeah, I do miss it.
What are the things that... What is it? What are those moments?
Well, just playing, being part of it, obviously watching it, and you do miss it. Yeah. But I'm so occupied with my business. I've made sure that I was always... My business is, and always made sure I've got four children.
Right, keep
God bless
busy.
Them. Dalton, Dylan, Devon, Delta. There you go.
That's how you can remember.
Cowboys. Yeah, that's it.
What do you do when the post arrives?
Yeah, well, I've done.
D. Bentley.
That's exactly it. I'm like Evander Holyfield. He's got 21 going, he ain't. But it wasn't me, I swear.
No.
But I'm always busy. I do miss it. It was a part of my life that I loved.
Yeah.
And I did love it. I did everything I could to love it. But the game changed.
Yeah. Sure.
Obviously, he's got more scientific now. The sports scientists taken over, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I absorbed it, like the stories that we've got to tell and what we've got to do. I loved every minute of it, and I think I was at that point where it changed, and I felt, do I sign somewhere and not live? I could have done it for the money. Could always do it with a few more quid.
It's worked out well.
But it's worked out well. Brilliant. I'm happy. I'm still alive. And good. My teeth are still shining.
Yeah, still look good,
I can
David.
Still afford some gel.
It's been lovely to see you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. You've given us a tip for this race, haven't you? Yes, Springwell Bay.
It's my brother-in-law. Look, he's had 11 winners out of the first 14 or 15 races.
Wow, we.
I know. And I think that's the other one. And we're all on it now, and it'll be my man, I tell you what.
Cheers, David. Enjoy
Cheers.
The rest
Thank
of the day. All
much.
The best.
Cheers.
David Bentley there, former Spurs and Blackburn there, thanks to him. And Arsenal, of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Suns fantasy football game Dream Team is back to turn friends into rivals with a top prize of £60,000, improved gameplay and completely free entry. It's an absolute sitter, but you've got to be in it to win it. Download the free-to-play Dream Team app today. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only.
Play the opening game of Final One Standing by William Hill for your chance to win a share of £500,000 jackpot. It's free to play. Simply join the opening league before 12:30 on Saturday, 16th of August, and pick a team to win in the opening round. Then pick a team to win each week. You can only pick each team once, and if you're the final one standing, then the jackpot is yours. Final One Standing by William Hill. Football's ultimate elimination game. 18 plus online. Runs from 28th of July 2025. Price split if all players lose in the same round. Paid in 48 hours. T's and C's apply. Play responsibly.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker live from Cheltenham, day three of the festival, Paddy's Day, and we've got the big feature race, the Paddy Power Stars Hurdle at Form. Lots more live racing before then, of course. And now we've been joined here at Cheltenham by the former Villa, Bayern Munich and Celtic striker Alan McInerney. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, very good, thank you.
You were watching the Villa last night. You were ambassador for the club, so congratulations
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's very kind of them to have me involved again. And I'm kind of there all the time now. And it's honestly, it's like being back home. Mm. Sounds a bit corny, but I genuinely feel like that. And it's nice. Villa fans have always been very kind to me. They still sing a silly song.
Yeah. What did you make of the performance last night? I mean, obviously the red card made a big difference.
Yeah, but I was at the first game, Paul, and to be fair, 3-1 maybe flattered us a little bit. To be fair, and the penalty obviously, you know, was a big bonus for us.
Yeah.
And they actually played really well. They played well with 10 men. To be fair, the little boy, I can't remember his name, Yashir. Yeah, the little Swiss boy in the middle of the park was very good and kind of constructed thing for him, but it took the pressure off of us immediately when the boy gets sent off.
Yeah,
and then it was obviously like an inevitability, I suppose, we're going to win the game. It was a big result yesterday. I mean, there was a big crowd there and an expected crowd as well. That, you know, they're thinking you win 3-1 in Europe away from home, you expect to do the same at home. 11-11 might have been more difficult, but certainly it's a really good result. And of course, with PSG being the destination.
Asensio, what a signing Asensio has turned out to be.
I mean, you guys have probably spoken about it, you know, the January transfer window. And we know how difficult January is, and it can be a little bit of a, I don't know, not a poison chalice, that's the wrong way to talk about it, but in terms of the money you think you want to spend because you need to spend, and, you know, Arsenal, they didn't spend properly, etc. And we know the problems that they think they've got. And I've got to say that bringing in Marcus Rashford was brilliant.
Yeah.
They bring the boy Andres Garcia in at fullback, who was at Levante for 2 years, who Unai Emery knew fabulously well. We bring Daniel Malin in, and we get Asensio, who's won 100 Champions Leagues at Real Madrid, plays at Paris Saint-Germain, and we get him to come to us. And I said on the TV last night, I don't know whether, you know, okay, let's bring Charlie, you and I are in charge of Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Let's bring Asensio in. We're like, really? Mm. Do you think he'll be like, you know, has he still got that kind of hunger?
Mm.
And he has.
But
not only that, he brings in a quality that all the lads around about him all of a sudden have a straight back again, given it, well, if he can do it, then we can do it.
Mm.
And he puts him on the bench last night.
Yeah.
Didn't start him. Mm. Makes a change, and he has immediate impact. And he has an effect on the football club. And not just the team, and he's been absolutely fantastic. He genuinely has, and he's a wonderful football player, which I suppose kind of helps.
And the second leg's going to meet is at Villa Park, isn't it?
Yes.
So that'll be huge. It's about staying in the tie, being competitive over in Paris, and then hoping to bring them back and get it done. It's going to be hard, though, Alan, isn't it?
It's going to be really tough. Yeah. I mean, kind of in it to win it, fabulous. And you've got to think. I mean, we've still got a month to go, or 3 weeks to go, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So let's just hope they're in the form that made them finish 16th in the Champions League. I mean, did Arnie Slot say they were a little unlucky because they were winning the first position, they win all the games or whatever, and yet they get PSG and it's a tough tie. And I'm like, well, that's just the way
it goes. Well, that's the new format, isn't it? And everyone's questioning this new format.
I like it, Charlie. Honestly,
I thought it might lack some jeopardy, but it's actually up the jeopardy, which is good.
I don't have a problem with the new format. I mean, again, if the three of us are in charge of UEFA, we're like, okay, how do we change the Champions League? What do we do?
I've had loads of jobs today. I've had to know if I'm signing Asensio and if I'm
the money's good,
and if I'm changing the Champions League.
And you've done a great job, Charles.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Alan.
It's a good format. I like it. And, you know, we've got to a position where we've put ourselves in an opportunity. Mm. And listen, there's 3 or 4 weeks to go, I was going to say, you know, injuries, you know, etc., form, etc. The best thing that Aston Villa have, genuinely, and I'm in a much fortunate position to talk about this than we spoke at, I think we spoke about in Glasgow, remember, the Euros, etc., is watching the manager and his systems and the way that the backroom staff are with the lads. Everybody knows exactly what's planned.
Mm.
Everybody knows. You know, whether you play Brentford away from home, which incidentally was a fabulous result for us, Ollie gets his goal, we win 1-0, sets us up for the European game last night, and all of a sudden we're in the Champions League and we're in the quarterfinals. So everything's going the right way, but the manager is such an influence in everything they do, and he does have a little bit of gold dust in Europe. It's as simple as that.
Good,
for whatever reason, and of course we're going back to, he was at PSG, wasn't he? So it's kind of written in the stars, and we're going to probably to get them. So, yeah, everything's been... We're going in the right direction, that's for sure.
Your other club, one of your other clubs, Bayern, are still in the shake-up.
Here's a shocker.
And, yeah, Harry Kane breaking that record for an...
Who have they got in the next round? Who have they got? Who have Bayern?
They've got Inter, which is going to be a tough game.
Really tough
game.
I watched a little bit of the Inter game. They're good. Mm. They've got goals. They get goals. And they'll put Bayern under pressure for sure, but... I don't know. I suppose Harry's doing his thing.
It really is, isn't it?
I mean, if you give me a free tenner, I don't know. It's a tough to. It's a, generally a 50-50 between them. They're a good team, by the way. But of course, Bayern are as well. But that will be a kind of clash of two powers, and we'll just see what happens. You know.
He's scoring goals, though, isn't he? I mean, that's the thing. Harry, he's scored goal.
Has he done
goal
ever? Has he ever done anything else?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I suppose so. What did when they bought Harry Kane? What was Harry? 29, 30. And do you think we're taking a chance? Because nobody else in England did. I mean, I was screaming a year before, giving it. Why are Man United not paying 100 million for Harry Kane? Just get him, bring him to the club. Mm. Everything will be fine. And obviously that wasn't the line they went down, and all of a sudden he goes to Bayern Munich and he scores a million goals every Saturday, and you think, great business. And that's what Bayern are like, you know. They, I suppose they did their due diligence in terms of finding out Harry's. They only have to look at his career and or his stats, I suppose, because football's become a bit of a stat thing now. But he's so good, Harry, and he's a good football player. And the funny thing, I was speaking to somebody not long about it, actually, they went, doesn't he get a lot of goals? And I went, well, he used to drop back deep for Spurs, still get goals, and at Bayern they're like, what the hell are you doing in the middle of the park? Get away from here, because we've got this covered. We've got Goretzka and Kimmich and Olesa and everybody else. Stay in the box.
I said to Paul, he'd be absolutely ideal for Arsenal. Brilliant signing for Arsenal.
Leave it, Charlie.
No.
A lot of that was
born. I was going to say Torquay.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it's that good, Charlie.
Let me get in.
Yeah. A lot of that was born of frustration, I think, Alan, where he felt like he had to come back and get the ball because he wasn't getting the service. And that isn't an issue at Bayern, really, is it?
No, it's not at all. Yeah. And even in terms of, I suppose, in possession that they have. I mean, by the way, they hadn't. I'm going to say they hadn't beaten Leverkusen. Of course they have. Mm. But they didn't have a great record. They certainly didn't have a great record against the manager. So getting through that one is the power struggle in Germany. Mm. And they've actually, you know, what did they finish with? 5-1 or something, aggregate was, or whatever. So that's a big result for Bayern Munich. So certainly confidence. I speak to some of the lads. I'm still pretty friendly with Augenthaler and Flügel, etc. Mm. And I speak to the lads now and again. If they thought it was going to be a tough game, they were like, no, sure, because Leverkusen are flying. And they've properly done them over, and they're in a nice position to play in.
Yeah, some cracking games coming up. I think we've got Arsenal, Real Madrid as well. So we'll keep talking football.
I was going to say, can we ask him who wins that?
In a minute.
We'll ask him in a minute.
Give him a break.
Well, you've only got to look at Real Madrid last night. They did it again, didn't they? Found a way, as they always do.
When that squad comes down the stairs and you see who's in their team, you go, oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Seriously.
Can't believe it, can you?
Oh, no.
There is something we're going to talk about that interest. Yeah, the producer's just telling me they're looking at that rule about the, you know, the ball being touched twice from a penalty. The Alvarez thing.
I did see that last night after the game, because obviously penalties, and by the time I got up to the chairman's suite for
By the way,
I tell you who was with me last night, and I shouldn't say this because I know he works on the show.
Mm.
But I walked into the chairman's suite, and of course McCoist is already on his second glass of red.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure.
Holding court.
Yeah. Where did it all go wrong, Ali?
Where did it all go? No, exactly. The first thing I said, I went, I don't think you're that good in co-coms, by the way. So him and Fletch were there with a bit of a catch up, and it was pretty good. But
he works hard, Ali. He's doing breakfast. And he's going up and doing commentaries. And the night before.
You'll like this, Paul. This is not breaking news or anything like that. Yeah. But I had a text at 7:36 this morning, saying, "Lovely to see you, big man. See you soon. We'll organise lunch." And I thought, where's he? He must be in a game tonight somewhere. And I realised that Rangers are playing at home against Fenerbahce. So he's obviously heading to Glasgow, I would imagine, to do the game.
Doesn't like his family, he's just always out.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker live from Cheltenham. We've still got one more race to come. It's our sponsors, Paddy Power's big feature race, the Stairs Hurdle at 4 o'clock. Yeah. Before that, though, we're going to talk a bit more. We're going to hear from Mike Tindall a bit later on, who's out and about with Fletch, but... joining us now, the former Wickham defender, Joe Jacobson, good afternoon, Joe.
Hey,
good
Joe,
to see you.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
Yeah, really good. Nice to see you.
I realised I don't, as a fan of a Premier League club, I don't see a lot of sort of League One football, but I have seen you play at the Lane.
Yes.
Back in that 2017, Tottenham played Wickham in the FA Cup, and Sonny got Spurs out of jail. Wickham were fantastic that day. And we got a couple of late goals and 1-4-3. But that was a great performance by the team, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm a Spurs fan as well. Going there was extra special. But yeah, that game, it was. We should have won that game, I think.
Yeah.
I think you used all the subs, and when the players went down injured as well and went off. And when it went to 3-3, I kind of thought, I don't want this to go to a replay. I can't go through this all over again.
Yeah.
It was such a big occasion. And Son scored in the 96th minute or whatever it was, and
you could have taken him back to Adams Park. They wouldn't like that.
Yeah,
well, we did play him again
Adams
a few
Park,
years. No, it was at the Lane, but a few years after we played him during COVID, we played him at Adams Park again, and went when they had, and then they had a cheat code. They brought on like Kane, Son, Dembele, Gareth Bale played.
I remember the thing I always remember about that game. I've talked about it on air. Is Bayo Akinfenwa.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Dyer didn't know what to do with him. Yeah. Whether to stick or twist, get tight, drop off. I mean, he'd never played against a fat player of that physique in his life. It was hilarious, actually.
Well, no one had. Do you know what the funny thing is? We're lined up in the tunnel before the game, and the Spurs mascots were all looking at Bale in awe, thinking, not the Spurs players, who they're probably their heroes, who they support, but it was Akinfenwa being this guy that they hadn't come across again. And it doesn't matter how good you are as a footballer, he's going to be stronger than you. Yeah. So
that was the power of FIFA, wasn't it? I remember
I went to Oxford
v Wickham once. I went to, and there were loads of Americans in the crowd, and they'd all come turn up to see Akinfenwa. Then he got sent off after about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I
don't know if you were playing in that game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was a tough day. That was in the end. Yeah, John Messina, I think, got sent off in the end.
That was it. Yeah, yeah.
So you're fairly recently retired. What was the sort of catalyst for that? What made you make that decision?
Well, being 37 at the time, I'd had a long career, and I knew my contract at Wickham wasn't going to get renewed, and just had 10 years of testimonial there. So it was just a case of what's next, and I could have carried on. I had a few offers to play, but I was involved in a takeover of another club, and I really want to get into that side of football. So I thought, let's worry about the next 10, 15 years rather than about the next 10 months and jump into something else. You know, there's nothing I was going to necessarily achieve in football that I hadn't already done. I wanted to get out while my body still felt okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't waking up every morning in pain and agony. And unfortunately, what was going to happen didn't come to fruition in the end, but still something I want to get into. And I have no regrets about
stopping. I think that's an interesting choice, actually, because I think a lot of people who watch football, and they underestimate the amount you're putting your body through week in, week out. And what did you have, a 15-year career, 10, 15-year career? So week out. You know, it's tough on you. So to get away with your knees and your hips, I suppose, is pretty great.
It is, yeah. And the worst I felt, actually, I went for a run a couple of weeks ago, just on a Sunday, just to get out of the house, and I felt worse in my knee than I had done in the last 20 years. So stay out, don't go running.
Learn that.
So coaching not for you, Joe, not your thing.
No, I was just saying earlier, bar my 40-minute stint as interim manager at Wickham, like I said, I chased football for so long.
You just didn't get the fans in those 40 minutes. They just didn't understand what you were trying to do, Joe.
I think I'm the only Wickham manager in history that's unbeaten still, so I'll leave it with that.
Sorry, carry on.
just doesn't interest me. I don't want to be out in the field coaching. I want to be behind the scenes where you can hide a little bit and be the front of all the defeats and everything like that. Yeah,
it's a fascinating season, isn't it, the top of League One? I mean, you've got Birmingham really dominant. I mean, Wickham are going well. You've got Wrexham breathing down your neck with all the money they've got.
We just had Curbs here. Charlton are coming up there in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's huge. And Wickham, Wrexham on the weekend, which I'm going to be out. I'm going to the game. So huge game. Probably the biggest game of the season in League One. And I think it shows how amazing Wickham have done, that they've sandwiched themselves all season in between Birmingham and Wrexham.
Yeah.
Two Hollywood kind of derby, they called it early on the season. Mm. Wickham have stayed up there. Yeah, they've spent a bit of money, but they're there because they've played some good football. They've got Richard Kone, top goal scorer in the division, who's been on fire this season. And his story's incredible, but that's for another time. And I'm desperate for them to do it. I think Wrexham, you either really want them to do it because you followed the story and you watch Welcome to Wrexham, or there's a lot of football fans who are a bit like, no, we don't want them to just go and buy the league and do it that way. But
well, that's what Birmingham are doing as well. They're spending money. Yeah. But Wickham have always been disruptors, isn't it? Is that in the DNA of the club, do you think? When you were there, were you told that this is who we do, we punch above our weight and we disrupt?
Yeah, we were always the underdog, especially under Gareth Ainsworth. It didn't matter if we were top of the league by 10 points, we were still the underdog, and went into every game thinking that we're going to make it horrible, we're going to be tough to play against. And he used to love it if an opposition manager would lose to us and come out and say, oh, we knew what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, well, why didn't you stop us? And he'd love it that way. And, we bought into it. And it was great. We had such a great time, had loads of success. And I think that's what, you know, some clubs have an identity, a DNA. And Wickham's is being the underdog, having a tough mentality. Yeah. And it's put him in good stead this season.
He must have been an interesting manager to work for, the sort of rock and roll aspect to him. Did you play an instrument? You never got into his band, did you?
No, unfortunately, my year three recorder never got three by mice.
Let's do London's Burning again. Gaffer, that would be good,
I was saying earlier that there'd be occasions on some days where he'd be like, right, everyone's got to get out of the training ground. I've got band practice later on tonight. These guys are coming in, and whether it's a pre-season tour, and he'd find a bar with live music going on, and you know, whoever the local French singers were, they'd be off stage and he'd be on stage, and no one else could get a gig in. So, great. Whatever happened, whatever the result was on the weekend, he'd come in on the Monday morning. He does this thing where he woos as loud as he can. He's got his rock music playing, and it's so infectious. You can't help but then just go into a positive mood and want to go and run through brick walls for it.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice indeed. So are you still, you were about to tell me, you still play seven aside on a Monday night. Not quite up to the pace.
I thought I'd join in. A friend of mine have asked me for a while, do you want to carry on? I was like, no, like, not for me. Anyway, they managed to twist my arm, played seven aside, thought I'd just turn up, walk around everyone, score a load of goals.
Yeah, you know.
Of course. Turned up, the standard was really good, and I actually got a text message saying if you want to come back you need to this bit. So
oh blimey, it's great, isn't it?
I've made sure now I'm doing gym sessions on the weekend, just in preparation for my Monday night seven aside game.
The cheek of it,
unbelievable, isn't it?
I love sending it.
And you're not doing too bad today, haven't you? You've had a bit of a flutter and you're doing okay.
Well, I know nothing about horse racing, and everyone that knows me who's ever seen me, I think Cheltenham's the only time of the year where I'll bet on a horse, because I played number three for so long, that's the only horse I bet on, and just so happens that two of the favourites today have been number three.
Really?
So it's worked out
number three in the next race.
Don't tell anyone I've told you this.
This is a great technique. Number three in the next race.
It can't do it again, surely. What is number three in the next
Crambo.
Race?
Crambo, 30 to 1.
Yeah, don't do it.
I'm going on it. I'm going on it. Pound each way
the
on Crambo.
You do it. You're going to do it a pound each way. I'm going all in.
I like
the whole pound, Paul. The whole pound.
Well,
it's
Joe,
on.
Thanks for coming to see us. We do appreciate it.
No,
enjoy the rest of your day.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look out for you in the boardroom rather than in the dressing room. That's the way it's going to work.
Hopefully. Good luck with the number three in the next
game. Well, it's on now. That £2
it's
on
done.
Now.
It's done. You've gone in big.
Yes.
Well done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Fletch.
Fletch really representing the Frangipani brand there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's trying to get some sponsorship.
He's looking for an ambassadorial role.
That's a front.
I don't know if they have brand ambassadors.
I don't know.
Whether that's the look they're going for.
I don't know if that's their choice of model.
I don't know. He's an unorthodox choice.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would get you some headlines, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, it really would. He's a great-looking guy.
He wears them with great style. He carries them off. He has a shirt off very often, both him and Adrian Durham.
It
gets a bit alpha when they're in the shirt-wise, when they're in the same room.
But it stinks.
They both like
just,
to have
just
the most outlandish shirt in the room.
Testosterone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Two.
Do you know who's always
stags.
The most boring person in the room? Do you know who's always the most boring person in the room? The person in the wackiest tie.
Is that definitely?
Oh, look, here's the face of Frangipani shirt.
Here he is.
He just
They've been in touch.
In.
They've been
They've
in touch. No, they haven't.
They're interested.
Just for a minute, then.
They're wondering if you
me.
Could breathe in for a bit.
Yeah. Charlie. The call's going to come. It's only a matter of time, the call's definitely.
A come and get me plea from the Frangipani people.
Now, very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds. We didn't have a birthday spread today,
okay,
but there
okay.
are some people in the world of racing who've had a birthday today.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm going to just try and run. It is the co-owner of Bemrajan, the horse Bemrajan, Rupert Wiggin.
Rupert Wiggin. A very happy birthday to our friends, Rupert Wiggin.
Rupert Wiggin, how old is he?
Wigan is Rupert Wigan is 64.
He's not. He's 56. So you're eight
not
out.
Not bad though. Not bad.
I'll give you one more.
I'm trying to do a joke of an eye.
Kirkland Tellwright. Kirkland, which sounds Kirkland like a carpet warehouse, it doesn't it?
But it's 20% off at Kirkland Tellwright this weekend.
Savings to be had. 10% off.
A crazy 999.
Yeah. Don't pay for 6 months. He's the clerk of the course.
It's 0% this weekend at Kirkland Tellwright.
Well, he's the clerk of the course at Haydock.
He's the clerk of the course at Haydock. At Haydock, Kirkland Tellwright this weekend. We're giving you a crazy 499 per square metre.
And how old is he?
78.
No, he's 69.
Well, not too far out, though, just from names.
And what about Warwick Bartlett? Warwick they have an estate as well?
Dear old Warwick.
Yes, my old friend.
My
good
old dear
friend.
Old Warwick. Warwick
the chairman
Bartlett.
Of the Levy Board's Bookmakers Committee, 1992. My old friend, Warwick Bartlett. The man with two surnames.
Warwick Bartlett. No, stop at Warwick Bartlett. You've got an M&S.
Warwick, that's nice. Yeah, it's lovely, a wild
it's lovely there.
It's a wild bean.
I recommend Warwick Bartlett East.
Yeah, Warwick, that's it. Yeah, yeah. And so how old is he?
I think he's 91.
Well, he's 78. You're an absolute mare. This is why
terrible.
You lose every week.
Terrible, terrible.
So there we are. That was
did
what
some
passed
jokes, though, Paul.
T20 birthday spread. Happy birthday to all three of you today.
All three of
despite
them, yeah, exactly.
What Charlie did to you. Mate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's this afternoon's show. We reconvene tomorrow for the final day for Gold Cup Day.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Do hope you can join us from 1 o'clock. If not, the podcast is always available at 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
The Suns fantasy football game Dream Team is back. And with total cash prizes worth over £100,000, improved gameplay and free entry, it's worth a little extra prep. Dream Team, it's a total no-brainer. But you've got to be in it to win it. Download the free-to-play Dream Team app today. T's and C's apply, 18 plus only.
Play the opening game of Final One Standing by William Hill for your chance to win a share of £500,000 jackpot. It's free to play. Simply join the opening league before 12:30 on Saturday, 16th of August, and pick a team to win in the opening round. Then pick a team to win each week. You can only pick each team once, and if you're the final one standing, then the jackpot is yours. Final One Standing by William Hill. Football's ultimate elimination game. 18 plus online. Runs from 28th of July 2025. Price split if all players lose in the same round. Paid in 48 hours. T's and C's apply. Play responsibly.